Welcome to the Tailored Training Podcast. This is episode number 3, and today I get to talk to Ben Alexander, ex-wallaby and fitness entrepreneur. He's going to talk to us about his personal journey with weight loss and the product and solution he's come up with to help you get in control of your weight once and for all. So I hope you love the episode.
Welcome to the Tailored Training Podcast, fitness and nutrition tips to help you feel like a 10 out of 10. Do you like this German girl's accent? I got her from a freelancer website because I can't do the intro myself. Now here's your host, Richard Taylor.
Episode number 3 of the Tailored Training Podcast. I'm here with Ben Alexander. Ben Alexander is a rugby player. But that's not why he's here to talk to us today. Well, you've played 154 Super Rugby games, am I correct? Have I got my stats right? And 72 caps for the Wallabies?
Yeah, up around that, yeah.
And shaken hands with the Queen. And what's this note you've left? And drank her leftover gin.
Yeah, that's a long story. So my first Wallaby tour, we went, got to go meet the Queen and Windsor Castle, and it was like on a Tuesday night, and she was drinking, we thought it was like a glass of water, and she went around, shook all her hands, and then she put it down as she left, and we all raced over to have it to, we had the dregs of the Queen's water, and it was actually straight gin.
Yeah.
That's respect gold. For Lizzie.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mrs. Elizabeth giving it a crack on a Tuesday night, so...
Tuesday night, right.
I'll try and just turn off all those notifications that come through. Sorry, mate.
You're all good. So I guess we'll start with a little bit about your career with the Wallabies and the Brumbies, but more importantly, the nutrition. Like, how involved did they get in prescribing nutrition?
Yeah, we didn't get – I mean – in those environments, they sort of try and, especially with the Wallabies, they'd cater for us. So we'd have, staying in hotels. So the team performance director would, obviously talk to the hotel chef and make sure the food was sort of all sorted for us. And you'd have maybe one or two chats with the nutritionist a year, maybe. Yeah. So they weren't too, it wasn't like it was harped on every day, nutrition.
Yeah.
We were sort of left up to our own, not own devices, but it was up to us and our own responsibility to sort of stay in good shape. I don't think they worried too much about what we ate as long as we sort of didn't blow out. And especially at the Wallaby level, if you can't be in good shape and playing good footy, you won't get picked. That's pretty straightforward. At Brums, though, it was a lot more, especially in 2012, 2013, under Jake White, we got our performance director, the head of S&C, was a guy called Dean Benton, who's been at England with Eddie Jones, and he's been at the Storm. And he got our own private chef in at the Brumbies, and this guy cooked us breakfast, lunch every day. And he was the first one sort of I ever met that was just so... not rigid, but just got us to focus on. He always said, if you focus on your eating and your sleeping or your recovery, then the training will take care of itself. And he was really, really into us and really trying to help us there with our eating habits. So he was sort of the first one that always used to say, eat it today, wear it tomorrow, was one of DB's quotes. So, it really depended on who was running sort of the performance side.
And how did you? And how did that work for you? Having that extra, or the chef and the extra intervention.
Well, it was awesome because you just rock up to training and breakfast was sorted for you. You go have lunch, it was sorted for you. So the environment was great. Like all your protein supplements and all that was all pretty much laid out for us. But the moment you were outside that environment and it was the responsibility was on myself to make my own breakfast or make my own lunch, I would just fall back into bad habits. So that was sort of Dean was awesome at creating this great environment for our nutrition. So it made it really easy for us. We didn't have to focus on our nutrition. We could just focus on performance, and the nutrition part was sort of to an extent taken care for us. We didn't need to think about it. So that works great when you're in that environment. But when you step outside the environment, yeah, you really fall to sort of your habit, what habits you've formed around, you know, planning for meals, preparing for meals,
yeah,
you know, decisions around meals, yeah.
And so how did you, what solutions did you come up with for managing your nutrition outside of the chef prepared, done for your environment?
Yeah, it was a lot of trial and error, So Richard and I, if anyone doesn't know, obviously went to school together and we were two of the biggest blokes in our year by quite a while. We were the anchors in the tug of war team. They just plonked Richard and I at the back of the tug of war and we'd just lock into the ground and no one would be able to budge us. So we were, heavy units. But it was a lot of trial and error. But I think the first day that I sort of, well, the beginning of this sort of journey that I've been going on started when I saw a YouTube clip about a guy, a prop, similar position to me. It was called the Brian Majardi diet. That was this guy I used to play with, and it was on YouTube. And I was like, oh, this is this guy I used to play with. I'd always chat to him after games, and he was always a big guy. He played for South Africa. But it was this picture of him and he had his shirt off and he was absolutely shredded. Like
during his career shredded. Or post?
During his career, yeah. During his career while playing in France. And I was like, oh, watch the video. And he was eating ice cream. He was having chips. He brews his own beer. But in the video, he was tracking everything on this app called MyFitnessPal. And I was like, oh, all right. So that's sort of that's just how I sort of came to this. It's like, oh, okay, Brian, this guy, no, he uses FitnessPal and he used it to get in shape while still enjoying his food. I mean, he didn't only eat chips and beer and ice cream, but, you know, he had, you know, fish and he'd eat really well breakfast and, you know, he was super diligent with his food. But, so downloaded it and started giving it a go. So the first sort of used it for a week or two, or not even a week the first time, and then I sort of quit.
Yep.
It was obviously we can get into a bit more detail all the issues. I had all the issues that everyone I sort of
well tried yeah to we're definitely had. Getting into that. Yep.
But then the second time, exactly what happened. I went off about a month and I lost a game and I played really bad and I was like, "Come on, Ben, sort your shit out. You know, let's get you eating right." So I went back, gave FitnessPal another go, and that was the time that then sort of I got through this learning curve with it. And it sort of then became really easy to use after sort of a month of using it or even a few weeks of using it. And that's just, with a habit formed of tracking what I ate. And then that sort of, from then on, I never had issues in my career of whenever I'd come back from my holidays. Well, in the past, when I'd go on a month holiday, we'd have our off season, I'd come back and I'd be in fat club. So I'd always have to go and do extra fitness and try and burn off the fat that I'd put on. Whereas in just 1 month, I could put on 3 or 4 kilos. Whereas once I learned, the values of tracking what I ate, I didn't put on any fat in my holidays, and I could then enjoy my holidays, still come back at the right weight that I.
How does it feel not having to attend Fat Club for the first time?
It was good. It was good. I tried not to rub into the other guys that they had to, and. Tried to be humble that I'd sort of graduated from Fat Club, but it was good. And the thing was, it was so, like, once I'd formed the habit of tracking, it was so easy. And I'd even deliberately sort of was like, the next time I had a break, I did no exercise. Like, I was almost like experimenting, saying, can I literally do nothing, give my body a full break for this month? And I don't remember what, maybe it was what pre-season or what break it was I had. I remember doing no exercise and I came back at the exact same weight that I went on my holiday at.
Yeah.
Because I reduced the amount of food I ate, obviously in proportion to the amount of exercise the amount of exercise I wasn't doing, so.
And the freedom, like you think it's restrictive, but the freedom something like that has actually allowed you is notable because you can rest and you can focus on other things. Yeah.
Oh, massively, massively. And that was my whole life. I never felt like I had control of my diet. Like it was always something that was out of control. And then and so constantly there was worry in my mind. I had my grandparents, I had my friends, I had my family all telling me, when you retire, Ben, you're going to blow out, you know, you're going to book yourself in for a gastric band. This is like what they told me, and I honestly believed it. I was like, already start saving my pennies so that when I retire, I could go book myself in to get a gastric band. But I literally, the moment I was like, this tracking, like tracking what I eat, it just, this belief inside me sort of came to be that I just knew I've had control over my weight. It just, it was a very freeing, and it was just an awesome feeling to know that, yeah, from someone that had struggled to control their weight the whole life, the moment of realizing that I now had it under control was just a very, just felt like there was a weight off my shoulders.
Absolutely. And so you nailed it for yourself. And you felt so good about it that you wanted to introduce it to other people. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, you got full control of my weight. And then so when anyone I'd talk to was complaining about their weight or wanted to put on weight or whatever it was, wanted to change their weight or their body shape or whatever, I'd be like, use my fitness pal, this is awesome. And I can't tell you, it would have been over 100 people I told, all went and downloaded it. And whenever I'd see them next, I'd go, how's fitness? This was over the course of probably 2 years. I was like, how did fitness pal go? Like, are you still using? And they go, oh, nah, like a couple guys did. But pretty 90-odd percent, it would be up around 95% of the people I spoke to, pretty much everyone downloaded it, but no one stuck with it.
Yeah.
For the exact same reasons why I quit the first time.
Yeah.
So, and we can get into a bit more depth about that, but...
What are the reasons? Let's go.
Well, I think it's very seen? Important. Yeah, well, I think it's sort of important to give a bit of background on my fitness pal, that it was... so how people... Bodybuilders used to track what they ate. Well, first it was built for bodybuilders. Let's get that right, like who it was designed for. So it was for bodybuilders who are 100% dedicated to their, you know, their physique, and their nutrition and training is their life. So it wasn't designed, the product wasn't designed for just the average person that's got to go work, that has to sit in an office, that has kids, you know, that health and fitness isn't. They're just not going to give hours and hours of their day to their health and fitness. So that's the very first, most important point. And the second one was it was designed, so bodybuilders would obviously either write down everything they ate, or they would keep it in an Excel spreadsheet, and they would keep track of all their macros and calories and all that sort of stuff. So Fitness Power was initially designed as a better solution than that, than writing everything down and keeping it in an Excel spreadsheet. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a nightmare to me, having to write everything down and keeping
Excel spreadsheets. Well, so, most people wouldn't do it,
No, exactly, unless you are like, you know, your physique is your livelihood, like bodybuilders and fitness models. That's their source of income. So they're super motivated and have the time and the motivation to keep a food diary. And that was sort of, as I sort of learnt about that, it was, that's I think the main point. So it was, Fitness Power was originally a website that was designed to be easier than writing everything down and keeping an Excel spreadsheet. So I think that's important that people understand why. Because understand why Fitness Pal doesn't work for most people was because it wasn't designed for most people. It was designed with a bodybuilder or a fitness model or whatever in mind. So it's very clear. And the people that my Fitness Pal has worked for, that there's a lock at the Waratahs, Tom Staniforth. He's one of the very, very, very few that I sort of said use Fitness Pal, and he still uses it. And he loves it, and him and I constantly chat about the benefits, and one of the other main benefits, I think, apart from obviously the gaining control of your weight and your eating habits, was you no longer ever feel guilty when you have a snack. That's the other great thing, because you know you've earned it, you know it's not going to undo all your bad work. So when you do have an ice cream, actually enjoy it way more.
Very liberating.
It removes that
guilty.
It's a really hard thing to explain to people unless they've actually done it. It's a very hard thing to tell people things in life. You've got to just show them. So he's probably one of the, and he's one of the hardest trainers. David Pocock was another guy. He was already using it before me. I think it's pretty well known how hard that guy and how diligent that guy is, and with his nutrition and his training. And so he was one of the other guys I used to chat about Fitness Power with. And so that was sort of always in the back of my mind. Trying to figure out why it didn't work for all my friends and family when I kept saying, you know, use my Fitness Power, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Once I finally realized and sort of understood not just the specifics of why it didn't work, but also sort of, yeah, those big overarching sort of philosophies and design stuff.
Yeah.
It'll all start to make sense. So we can get into some of the specifics. And I think the first one is, and the overriding thing is the pursuit of accuracy. Like Fitness asking you to weigh your food, and there's billion options, and you just type in rice and you don't know which one. And it's that pursuit of accuracy, and also like just too much information as well. Most people, when they're starting, I'm not saying all this information isn't important, but when you're just getting going, you don't need to track your, or I've learned is you don't need to track your macros straight away. I think it's just learning the energy like first bit, and then eventually learning your macros. So that was again, it was designed for bodybuilders, and if you want to be a bodybuilder, you need to track your macros. Like, that's a non-negotiable. Like,
yeah,
I think maybe I could be wrong, but yeah, the main three things were obviously the weighing your food was the main one, so people didn't know, like, unless you were going to weigh all your food. And I did weigh my food probably the first month, and then after a while I was like, well, I sort of know roughly how much things weigh. I'll just start estimating, and I stopped weighing my food, and the weight loss continued.
So got the similar result, yeah.
So got the even better result, because I wasn't wasting time weighing all this food and trying to get everything perfect. The weighing of the food, searching their database has become a nightmare. Like I just said, there'd be 1,000 different rices, and you don't know what one to choose.
They were the two main ones,
and then apart from, obviously, there's a bit of design stuff around just too much information and too much numbers, and it can sort of become a bit overwhelming to someone that's new to health and fitness. They were sort of the three main sort of issues that that kept coming back. They were the same things that people kept saying. They were the same, it was the same feedback.
That's a really good insight into the problems with my Fitness Power. And so you thought long and hard about this, and you've come up with a solution that has taken you to the next stage of your career.
Well, so it's about 2.5 years ago now. I sort of was like, I was thinking in my mind, like, obviously what I'd do when I'd finish footy, and it was just in the back of my mind. But then, and I was like, well, what am I sort of uniquely good at? What sort of one skill that I have? I mean, I've run my rugby skills, but I can't take that into post life or post footy life. And I was thinking, I was like, geez, I could like help people track what they eat. I think I hadn't lost a ton of weight at that stage, because I still had to stay at my playing weight. But I just knew in my mind, as soon as I finished, I can just drop as much as I want, which is what I've done now since obviously hanging them up. But
almost 20 kilos from your simple solution?
From my heaviest, I'm down 14.
14, yeah.
14 kilos in sort of 10, 11 months. So, yeah. And I'm down, like, from my heaviest, I'm down sort of 27, 28 kilos from my absolute all-time heaviest. So,
yeah.
Plan on dropping a couple more kilos. Want to get under 100 for the first time since I can remember. So since probably before we knew each other.
Yeah, yeah. We've been 100 for a while.
When did you crack 100? Because I can't remember. I was trying to think the other day.
You mean get below 100? About four or five years ago, I got under 100. But I've been well above 100 for a while. The last 3 or 4 years.
What year did we, like, because we're always about the same stuff.
Did we become 100 kilos?
For the first time.
It was year nine. I remember being 100 kilos in year nine.
What year did you do that bench press comp in the amphitheater?
Year 10, actually. It was like 82 kilos, so it wasn't that big. It was like the
bench press.
Yeah, so much hype. Yeah.
It was a thrilling day at Knox. You took out the...
Yeah.
No, you came second, didn't you?
I came...
Carl Thistlethwaite, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Carl Thistlethwaite. Yeah. Funny days. Good old days. And then you, what did you win? Was that the same day that you won the eating speed competition? Eating.
Yeah, the speed eating. That's right, the canned spaghetti or something. So, oh,
so good.
Eating was definitely a forte of ours growing up, you could say.
Yeah.
But, so that was like thinking about what I was going to do with myself, and I thought, I could help people track what they eat. Like, this is the most – if people can't use FitnessPal, maybe I could show them the shortcuts, and you don't need to be perfect. And I was thinking along those lines. Hang on, I honestly, truly believe I will track my food to the day I die. Like, that is how I feel.
Wow.
Because there's been a couple of times we went to Japan on Brum's tour and our prototype wasn't working. Anyway, I stopped tracking for a week and I noticed all my bad habits started to creep back in. But anyway, I was I truly believe I'll constantly track what I eat for the rest of my life. And so I thought, why don't I just make my own and make one that's super simple, easy for people to use, that has all the benefits of tracking what you eat without the effort or the time required.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just the origins of that idea, and we've been with my my wife's uncle, who is a computer programmer for the government. We've been working away for 2.5 years now, and we hope to launch in September. So we did we trialed a prototype last year it was only for iPhone because Peter's the code he knew was the Apple code or the code that worked on iPhone, and tested it and all got great results. Like, all my mates all said it was easy to use in FitnessPal. Lots of guys have all lost weight without it being complete. Like, it was incredibly buggy. We didn't do any UI stuff. So we were super, super excited with the results, which has then led us to the decision to start building it from scratch using different technology and different infrastructure that can give us the best chance of succeeding once we launch it. So we had plenty of issues with the old version, but we were still super excited with the results that we got. So doubling down and by starting
that's
again.
That's so cool,
We thought we'll take the lessons we learned from building the old version and just make it 10 times better in this new version.
So you could probably quite easily convince people, you've quite easily convinced people why they should track their food. Why is it better than MyFitnessPal? Can you give some key points about why people should use it over MyFitnessPal?
Well, for a start, I don't think you should. Like, there's tons of products out there, and I think you got to pick what one suits you. I believe mine will be the least amount of time required in the day. Like, it'll be, the aim is to be under 10 seconds a day total. I mean, it's not going to be that, it'll be less than a minute a day. Like, it already is less than a minute a day of work. But I believe ours will be the least amount of work. But there's other products out there. MyFitnessPal might be what you want because you might want more data. You might want more insights. Our first version won't have all those insights, but we're going to build them in all in due course. So just want to start with saying I'm just encouraging people to track what they eat. It doesn't matter what tool you use. I think mine, when it's finished, will be the easiest and the least amount of time, but it will also be the most simplest. If you want more data and you want more precision, MyFitnessPal's definitely couldn't recommend it more highly.
Well, it worked for you, so yeah.
Yeah, FitnessPal did work for me. So I think it is an awesome, awesome product. I just think there can be one designed for the average Joe or just the person wanting to get into fitness. I think it can be a product much better than that. So, but I mean, I guess I really just think we should, with that, after saying that, it's really more, I sort of had to think long and hard about why tracking what you eat actually works. Do you want to, because it's sort of rather than
please
just the app, I think it's really important to sort of, for a long time I didn't realize that tracking what you eat worked other than that it did work. Like, I knew tracking what you eat worked, but I sort of didn't realize why. I'd seen a study where they did a study where if people just took photos of their food, every time they ate, they just took a photo of it, they lost one. So I think that what tells you is, just being mindful about what you're eating is sort of the goal.
Okay.
So there's sort of 6 points. I've jotted them down over time. What are the 6 main points? Like why tracking what you eat works?
Yeah.
First one is, we just said it creates mindfulness and an awareness around your eating habits. So I think so many people, just sort of, we just eat without thinking. We just don't know how much energy we're eating, you know, how much energy we need. We just don't know. So we just sort of go around on autopilot. So when you start tracking what you eat, it stops that habit.
Mm.
The second one is, I think it also gets you more focused on the process of losing weight rather than the outcome.
Mm.
I think everyone sort of gets really focused on the weight that they want to be and, you know, the ideal physique and focus on what they, but they lose focus on the actual process. How do you get there?
Yeah.
So I think when you're tracking, you're actually being more focused on the, it gets you automatically focused on your nutrition and on your exercise and on the things that get you to where you want to be. So it gets you sort of focused on your process rather than the outcome. It also, the third thing, sort of gets you to act. As soon as when you start tracking what you eat, you just naturally start making better decisions. I think it's in human nature that if something can be left till tomorrow, it will always get left till tomorrow.
Mm.
And that's sort of something with our diet or making changes to our diet or losing weight. It can always wait till tomorrow. It can.
Mm.
But when you start tracking, it stops that procrastination part of our mind where we just go, oh, we'll just wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, so you're not... Sorry, go on.
There you go.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not committing to changing your diet. You're committing to the tracking of it, which causes you to take action. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. So not focusing on making all these changes to your diet, just focus on tracking your diet and becoming more aware of your eating habits. That's the big thing. Once the penny dropped with me, I was like, oh, shit, you know, this is awesome. So getting people to act today rather than sort of putting it off till tomorrow, which is just human nature. The other thing, and I think this is a really big one, is when you have sort of an energy limit, a calorie or kilojoule limit each day, it helps you pace yourself. Because I know when people, again, this is sort of back to human nature, we either don't try at all to lose weight, or when we do feel motivated, we try way too hard and we flog ourselves in the gym and we eat lettuce sandwiches or just lettuce and drink water, you know, like it's so hard to actually find that balance of effort and pace ourselves. And I think and that's just human nature, that's not anyone's fault, that is just finding balance in any area of our life is really, really hard, in politics, in work, in nutrition, and making changes to our diet and losing weight's no different. It's, I just see people either try way too hard or not at all. And when you're tracking and you're using a tool that gives you a target each day to hit, it just helps you pace yourself. So you're still making changes and losing weight, but you're still eating enough. You got energy. So it sort of helps fight that sort of basic human nature sort of element, behavior. We sort of touched on the other one. It stops people eating without thinking. I mean, that was one of my biggest problems in the evening. Even if I wasn't hungry, I'd just start eating without thinking and then go, oh, shit, I ate that whole block of chocolate before I even realized I'd done it. So when you're tracking, that disappears. And that's, I think, one thing with the perfectionism and with fitness power, people are trying to get everything perfect. I learned is that you don't need to be perfect and you just need to track. And the main first initial weight loss I got was just a result of me stopping eating without thinking. So if I was gonna, I'd be conscious and go, here's a block of chocolate, I'm gonna have half, right? Whereas in the past I would just eat the whole thing without even thinking. So the weight loss comes in me not eating that other half of chocolate, which I would have eaten in the past. So very, that's good. Stopping eating without thinking. And then the last one, I think it also, when you track what you eat, it gives us people more information to make informed decisions. So, you know, I've got 800 calories to play with or whatever, you know, and this Big Mac is 500 calories. And then it helps you make decisions. So when you've got all the information, It's just like anything in life, it's so much easier to make a decision about something if you have all the information.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are making nutrition decisions without all the facts. All the facts are there and they're on the nutrition packet. Like, there's all the numbers and so all the facts are there, but it's really hard to make sense of all that and to put it into context unless you're a walking calculator. So that's why I believe, yeah, that a tool's needed, an easy-to-use tool to sort of help make sense of all that, all the nutritional information that's on the back of all the packets.
There was an analogy you used when we chatted a couple of weeks ago, the budgeting one. What's that one?
Calorie budgeting or what?
Like if you want to save money.
Oh, yeah. So exactly. Good analogy. Okay, so how can you save money if you don't know how much you're spending and versus how much you're earning? So it's like weight loss is, it's simple. Calorie, energy in, energy out. So if you don't know how much energy is coming in and how much is going out, how can you manage your weight? So it's very easy now to manage how much energy, you know, with Apple Watches and Fitbits and Garmins, it's very easy now to manage how much energy is going out. But there's still not an easy tool to help manage the energy in. So we use that, the finance or anything. But the finance one, yeah, how can you save money if you're not aware of your spending habits and how much money you're earning? You know, how can you expect to save money? So
fantastic analogy, yeah. Cool. What else was there? Are they all your points?
Well, they were just the six around, like, actually why, even if you're not using what we're building, Alfred, you know, use Fitness Pal or just track what you eat, even if it is just a pen and paper or writing it down, or I just can't encourage people enough to track what you eat. I think it's the most skill in health and fitness. If you can nail that, all your training, everything will just take off when you get your nutrition right.
That's awesome. And just finally, let's give the listeners your big three motivation tips when starting a diet.
Okay, I think there's only really two. And again, it's sort of, I think there's a massive miss before you, it's sort of the mindset around when you actually start. And I think there's a massive misunderstanding around the term of starting a diet. Because your diet is what you eat. Like you're on a, your diet is what you eat. Whether you're on a, you're always on a diet. Like people go, oh, I'm going to go on a diet. And actually what you mean is I'm going to make a conscious effort to try and change my diet habits. That's really what you mean when you say going on a diet. You know what I mean? Like, so got it. Yeah. You are always on a diet. You're on a diet till the day you die. Like your diet is what you eat. So just think, there's just this massive sort of misconception around what that means. It's what, when you say I'm going on a diet, you are making a, what you're really saying is you are going to make a conscious effort to change your eating habits. Now, eating habits is hard. Is that like any, changing any habit, quitting smoking, stop drinking, exercise, changing any habit is hard, which is why you just need to change one habit at a time. Focus on changing one habit. What's the one habit that if you could change will give a knock-on effect and give you momentum to build into the next habit change? And then once you've changed that one, then you move on to the next one. And then over a course of 6 months, you've made 7 or 8 habit changes and the weight just absolutely disappears. So I guess the two things is, one is to take your time. I think people, they want to lose all the weight by next Thursday. And so they place unrealistic expectations, unrealistic goals with unrealistic time frames, and so the only time they feel like they'll to give it a go is when they feel super motivated and fresh and they're on holiday and they're, all right, I'll give it a go, I'll give it a crack. And of course, as soon as they have one chocolate bar or something, they fall off the wagon and they give up. So it's about extending. If you can say, right, I'm going to set a realistic goal and I'm going to set it for 12 months, I'm going to hit it in 12 months time. So give yourself 3 or 4 more months longer than you normally would. I think that's the biggest one, is just is when you start out setting yourself up for victory. And the first one, is the setting realistic goals with realistic time frames. And I guess the only other one was, again, it's tracking what you eat. That's the other one.
That's fantastic, so insightful. So we're going to get you back closer to September, I think you'll have some good news and some products for us to try out. Love to get you back and love to hear more.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the aim is to launch in September. Obviously everyone coming out of winter and everyone will be wanting to get in shape for summer, but we just got to get it finished. So yeah, hopefully it's ready in September, maybe October, but we're definitely, you'll be one of the first to know.
Awesome. Oh, thanks so much, Ben. Thank you for your time. We'll definitely be in touch, and the listeners will hear your story again in September. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
Thanks mate. See you, mate. Take care.
You do. See you, mate.
Bye-bye.